All right, this is Indie Media On Air. I'm Chris Burnett. Tonight we're going to be talking about the occupation of Los Angeles. And joining me in studio...
Hi, this is Anna Kunkin, also with LA Indie Media.
All right, we're going to be right back, and we're going to have some guests in studio. Going to have people on the line live from downtown Los Angeles. Stay tuned. All right, tonight, as we speak, there's an occupation of Los Angeles, and it's, as everybody I'm sure has heard, there's an occupation of Wall Street. It's an occupation of Boston, San Francisco, Florida, and Denver, and many other places I'm probably forgetting.
I heard about Tennessee today.
And Tennessee, and probably many other places that we're going to be hearing about in the future. So everybody who is tuning in, want to make sure that you can, if you are near a computer and you would like to go online for information as we discuss this, go to OccupyLA.org. That's www.OccupyLA.org for all the information about Los Angeles. And, of course, OccupyWallStreet.org, where you can follow the updates that are happening there. And tonight in studio, we have a couple of guests, Kwasi, who is a longtime labor and community activist from the civil rights movement up until now, currently a coordinator of the Martin Luther King Coalition for Jobs and Justice, and a participant and organizer in the occupation of Los Angeles. And we have Clark Davis, who is in studio as well as a media organizer with Occupy Los Angeles. And joining us in about 10 minutes will be Julie Levine, who is actually in downtown. And as we understand it, during the General Assembly as it's taking place.
Right.
Any thoughts, Anna, before we jump into this?
Well, I just want to say that this whole thing has happened so fast. It's so overwhelming and so amazing. And it just feels like there's something really powerful happening. It came out of nothing, and it's exactly what everybody has been saying forever, you know, that you just never know when it's going to happen and what it's going to mean or how long it's going to last. There's a lot of questions, and we have them all.
Well, let's now that we've fixed a little mic problem we got going on, let's introduce our guest, Kwasi. Welcome to the show for Indie Media On Air.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for being here. And Clark, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Well, let's start off with one of you guys. Clark, why don't you start off and give us what you're doing with the media organizing and a little bit of the background on what's going on in Los Angeles.
Okay, so the Occupy Los Angeles movement actually began with a march from Pershing Square to the South Lawn of City Hall on Saturday morning. We had about 2,500 people out there. The enthusiasm, the excitement was absolutely fantastic. The response that we got from passersby on the street, even on our very first day, was incredibly positive. Massive support on the streets for the movement. I have been a pretty critical player in helping establish and coordinate the media team, which is obviously an incredibly important part of this process. It is about getting the message out. It's about the people understanding what we're trying to accomplish here, and it's trying to garner their support in the movement because we feel we're all in this together.
And Kwasi, you being a long time organizer in the community, what's your impression of what's going on downtown, and how did you get involved?
Well, I mean, I think that what we're witnessing is a new stage, a new type of activism that is putting a mark on a whole new political era in our society. I mean, having grown up in the civil rights movement, having experienced a lot of the student activism of the late 60s and many other movements in between, it's very clear to me that this is a new social phenomenon, a new political development. This movement is made up mostly of young people, mostly people under the age of 35, a generation who has been assumed by many to be non-political, out of it in terms of any response to the crisis that's going on, that's been getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And, you know, what I would say is that, not that it really came out of nowhere, where it's come out of is a tremendous accumulation of grievances over a long period of time in the absence of any really meaningful or significant response to any of these crises in any serious way, whether we look at the economic crisis, whether we look at the ecological crisis that's going on. And I think that one of the things that's really significant is that the common sense of those who seem to be activating behind this, and I'm speaking specifically of the younger people, is a very clear understanding that at the core of all of these problems is this issue of corporate power versus human power and corporate manipulation of rights, even usurpation of rights versus human rights. And those two things, I think, seem to be at the crux of what we are witnessing in New York, what we're experiencing here in Los Angeles right now, and what, from what I've been able to pick up on the net, seems to have spread to at least 50 major localities throughout the United States. Portland, Austin, Houston, Denver, Oklahoma, North Carolina. I mean, it's all over the United States, and it is a exponential phenomena similar to the kind of impact that the sit-ins had in 1960. In 1960, the sit-ins were a whole new phenomena. Nobody had ever seen anything like this happen before, and pretty soon it spread from one lunch counter in North Carolina to all over the country. There wasn't a single locality left out. And that's what I think that we're watching happening here. I kind of got involved because we ran across some of the people who initiated this at some actions about a week ago. And they had been together for about 3 days. And they had begun to put out, you know, we want to do a similar thing here in L.A. as what's going on against Wall Street in New York. And we talked. They invited us to attend some meetings, myself and a number of people from the Martin Luther King Coalition. We attended the meetings. We dialogued. Pretty soon we were working together on this thing. And I would say, in particular, on a cross-generational basis, which is also very interesting to me, because there weren't big problems about that.
And, Clark, what would you add to that and continue that?
I heard today, well, 2 days ago, I heard there was 85 cities either forming a movement, planning a movement, or currently activating their voice. I heard today there's 135 cities now on that list. OccupyTogether.org is a clearinghouse for the movement. So anyone who's interested in seeing a list of the cities that are now joining this movement, you can go to OccupyTogether.org and basically find out any information that you need to know about the movement, potentially in your community, in your area, that that you can join.
Well, Anna, as a fellow IMC Collective member, why don't you tell us some of your experiences quickly about what was happening on the march? And I should remind listeners that we're going to be going live downtown to Julie, who's at the General Assembly in just a few minutes. I think she might even be on the line, but go ahead, Anna.
Okay, well, I went to the march Saturday, and I didn't really have any expectations because I had just heard about it a few days earlier. But I wanted to go down and find out what was happening. And I got there. I got to Pershing Square just as the march was leaving, and I was overwhelmed. I was blown away. It took like 15 minutes for the people to get off Pershing Square and into the street, which means, you know, thousands of people. And considering that they'd only been organizing for a week or so, to have brought that many people together in Los Angeles seemed to me just phenomenal. And the level of energy was incredible. I was a little, there were things I noticed, like that the cops were being really surprisingly cooperative and stopping, you know, the traffic at the red lights to let people through. And this, considering it was a non-permitted march, I had questions immediately about, you know, sort of what was happening. And, but anyway, I hung around all day and talked to people and found out that they were organizing with Consensus and horizontally. There was no top-down organization, and I was really interested in finding out more about how that's working, considering it's so fast and so many people don't know the process.
Well, why don't we go live to downtown and Julie Levine, who's at the General Assembly. Julie, welcome to Indie Media on Air.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, well, can you give us an update of what's happening down there on the street right now?
Sure. Well, right now we're in the middle of the General Assembly meeting. It started late tonight at 8 o'clock because of two actions this afternoon, particularly a second action that was a pretty strong action. So as a result, you know, the General Assembly started late. It started at about 8 o'clock, and currently the committees are reporting out. I went into a quiet location to take this call.
Well, give us a sense of what they're talking about. What's happening during the meeting? I assume that it's using the same type of process that's happening in New York. What are the issues being discussed? How are they being discussed, et cetera?
First of all, they are using the same process as in New York. It is a consensus-building model using hand signals. Very beautifully done. Everyone is being trained as a facilitator, and facilitation is being rotated. There is a peaceful nature to the meeting. The committees are reporting out. At the time that I left to get on this call, I think that probably the more difficult issues to resolve tonight perhaps haven't fully surfaced. But overall, I would say that this is a group that's not only holding, it's actually growing, and it's unifying, continuing to remain unified, and with a message of, you know, we are the 99% and corporate control. A series of demands are being developed. There are many, many committees working on action, working on logistics, working on demands, outreach. We have an effective media team. As you know, we are live streaming.
How many people are down there?
Right now, I would gauge it at maybe 700 or 800.
Really?
Fantastic.
That's impressive.
Really?
Yes. In fact, there were two actions this afternoon. One was an action at a bank in solidarity with a teach-in that UTLA was doing on the inside. They asked us to provide the support on the outside, and that, I think, had about 200 people. And then there was a second action that had been organized by a group that participates in the Occupy LA Answer Coalition, along with a number of people that were that had been part of Occupy LA, and that action was about standing in solidarity with the 700 people that were arrested in the Wall Street protests and making a statement against police brutality. And they did. It was a pretty feisty group. That demonstration, and it did in fact take to the streets. However, I was there. I actually witnessed and took photos and whatnot, and was in part of the march, in the back of the march. And there was quite a strong number of police cars there. I would say at least 8 or 9 right behind the marchers, with their sirens and on. But there was no violence of any kind, and the protesters came back to our occupation site feeling very elated and feeling that they had taught truth to power. It was important in part because of a conversation we had had last night around the importance. The police here, as another speaker mentioned, have been incredibly, I almost would have to say, supportive. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with some police officers when I was picking up coffee for the group this morning, and they said very specifically, we do not want to be like the NYPD. We don't want to be that way. You're being peaceful, and we want to deal with this in a peaceful manner. And I, you know, talked to them about how, you know, they are the 99%, and we appreciate that, and we know that, and, you know, and he recognized that. I mean, we have had nothing but, I mean, it's extraordinary conversations we've had with network news reporters who have just ended up just sitting down and talking to us and, you know, affinity groups and things like that. I mean, when we really go out and talk to people, you know, we have complete confirmation that 99% of the people out there do get that this world and this country are being controlled by corporations, and that this is the time, this is the window where we need to build the people's movement that can fight back while we still have access to any kind of airwaves.
Well, you know, one question I want to bring up to all of you is this notion of the corporate press is very upset and disturbed and confused about there not being demands. And, of course, we've heard the phrase, power concedes nothing without a demand. It's an old one. But at the same time, I'm sort of the opinion that and I think other people are of the opinion that demands this early are a way, in a sense, to diffuse your own power by giving legitimacy to a system that is so corrupt that, you know, we're not ready to make demands until we know exactly how to proceed. And it almost speaks to the process itself, which is this idea that, you know, we're working this out. You know, we're going to, on our terms.
As we
without
go.
A doubt.
Right?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I think it's a kind of a sign of the times. You know, in the 60s, when people went out to protest, they generally had a very clear set of demands, objectives, strategies, and so forth. What has happened since the 1960s and the early 70s is there's been a greater and greater fracturing of the population. We don't even really have the same types of basis for social relations in our communities that existed at that time. And I think that the organizing method that's being used here is specifically addressing that problem of the fracturing of the public. The fact that we have not had vehicles to bring people together to even formulate demands that we could say we all equally owned. So that a huge part of this process has been to set up a process that allows people to come in, dialogue with each other, and make collective determinations of exactly what is it that they can do together here? What are the problems that we're confronting? What do we think are viable solutions? And this is taking some time, but is part of what this process is aiming to create, is a basis for people to do that.
Clark?
Right. I agree. And I will say
Julie, let me just get Clark's thoughts in here, and we'll go right back to you.
One of the things that I really feel is that that our voice as American citizens and our vote have been corrupted, that we, as we're saying, the 99%, that our voice no longer counts. What we're trying to do is get our voice back, get our vote back, to where Americans have the capacity to be heard, have the capacity to affect change in positive ways that will be beneficial to themselves, to our communities, to our country at large. And I think that on the demands issue, that it is relatively premature to start making demands because the problems are so diverse, that are so embedded into the system, and the foundational issues that exist within our system are so flawed that trying to pinpoint one demand or another at this point in time literally dilutes the message. And so as the movement continues to grow and broaden, without a doubt, we will consolidate our ideas and our objectives. And at one point in time, I'm sure demands will be made.
Something that's been really that's made a real big impression on me in this watching the last couple of days is how it seems that people are educating themselves, becoming educated, and in this space we're dealing with people who aren't trained in critical thinking, and they're coming because of our culture and how they've been trained, and they're coming to this space and discussions are just popping up everywhere without warning, you know, randomly about anything. And, you know, people are learning and learning how to communicate and learn. And so part of the process, I think, is this sort of development. And that's very exciting to me to see.
And Julie, continue with your thoughts.
Yeah, no, actually, I was going to say that the issue came up tonight about whether the word demand should be changed. And the group, the majority, the very strong majority, felt that demands was a fine word. And, you know, the only ones that we for sure have come up with here out of L.A., other than, you know, de facto supporting the demands of the Wall Street group, is that to end corporate personhood and also health care for all are the two that I've heard mentioned that were definite, and to take corporate money out of politics. So I know that those three are there, but I do agree that the process is a trickle-up process of sharing and caring. And one of the things that people keep saying to me is when they have to leave for any reason, they have this feeling like they want to come home. They're feeling that they're developing a sense of family and community, and that speaks to that rupturing that we have felt in our community.
In fact, that leads right into my next question, is about, I think, from reading and taking in all that's happened in the last few weeks and hearing people's response, it is the atomization of our society where people are living essentially a screen culture by themselves. Even if you're on a computer or in front of a television, you're by yourself, even if you're talking with somebody in a chat room. This is allowing people not to be isolated, not to feel alone, not to feel atomized, and not to feel disempowered, which is exactly how this culture works. And it's made to, you know, the worst sort of values are inculcated into people. And all of a sudden there's this sense of solidarity, community, respect, having a voice, finding out what politics are about. Kwasi, why don't we go around to you again and maybe comment on a couple of those things. I want to remind listeners, we do only have about 6 minutes left. And we're going to try to get as much information in there as possible. So let's try to keep our comments a little bit short, get everything out there. And
I have to say I've been impressed by the people involved in this from the beginning because they've managed to pull together so many people who are with diverse views, et cetera, and actually get quite a bit accomplished in a very short period of time, pretty impressively. Tonight, after the actions at the bank and another action downtown, the Central Labor Council of Los Angeles endorsed this action, Occupy LA. So the labor movement of the city is now signed on to this process. And I think we're going to see a lot more community organizations, advocacy movements locally, and just people in general, as this progresses, plugging into this process. And we've seen some of this in New York also.
The connectivity, the enthusiasm and the excitement that I've witnessed in the last 6 or 7 days leading up to this has been one of the most amazing, exciting aspects of my life. And I think that there's a lot of people there today, now, that feel the exact same way, that we have found our voice and we're in it together and we're saying what needs to be said.
And Julie, why don't you give us a few final thoughts, and then we'll try to wrap this up, get the listeners hooked up with everybody and some information out there.
I agree with what everyone says. This is the most exciting moment in my life. I really do believe that we are building the people's movement that needs to be built. And I think at the same time Kwasi did, the first meeting was after the Obama protest on the 26th. And bottom line is the young people are leading the way, and we're providing support. But this is a young people-driven movement, and it's the most exciting, amazing process I've ever been a part of.
And where should people go? I want to give out the website, OccupyLA.org, obviously.
OccupyLosAngeles.org.
That's right.
Yeah.
OccupyLosAngeles.org. Spelled
out. That is right. Spelled out.
Okay. OccupyLosAngeles.org. There is an ongoing chat room for Indie Media. It's irc.indiemedia.org. That's IndieMedia.org. And the chat room is Occupy Wall Street. A few final thoughts.
Oh, also, LA Indie Media is operating as a hub to all this, where we've created a feature. People are welcome and invited more than ever to write their stories, their report backs, their ideas, their thoughts, and get them up to be part of this feature. So it'll be part of the archive of this history.
And I would encourage everybody out there who's curious about this, go on down to City Hall. It belongs to you anyway. Go down there and meet your fellow citizenry and, you know, get in the mix and find out for yourself what's going on.
Yeah, I believe there is something for everybody at this movement. Anybody can show up and relate in one way or another to what's happening here. This is going to be an ongoing process. It's going to be an ongoing occupation. We invite anyone to come down at any time, say hello at the very least, get involved in any way that you can. We appreciate any support that people can give us, whether it's with their knowledge, their wisdom, their cash, food, medical supplies. We're here and we'll accept your help at any level.
All right. I want to thank all of you for joining us tonight on Indie Media On Air. It's been a pleasure having you, Kwasi, Julie Levine, Clark Davis, and, of course, my co-host, Anna.
Thanks, Chris. It's been a pleasure.
All right. I'm Chris Burnett. This is Indie Media On Air. And stay tuned to all the websites, la.indiemedia.org, occupylosangeles.org, occupywallstreet.org. Thanks to everybody down in downtown right now as a part of the General Assembly. You guys are amazing. Keep it up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. Pleasure meeting you.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
2011, the 10th anniversary of the start of the Afghanistan War, the Afghan Women's Mission and PCC Students for Social Justice present a conversation with Reena, a member of RAWA. Joining a live audience via remote video stream, Reena will tell the real story of the war and Afghan resistance. That's on Friday, October 7th at 7 p.m. at Krebling Lounge CC Building on the campus of Pasadena City College. The event will also be live video streamed on Afghan Women's Mission's website. More details at kpfk.org or at 626-676-7884. KPFK is a media sponsor.
Yo, this is Immortal Technique. Right now you're listening to KPFK 90.7 Los Angeles. Revolutionary commentary. You know what it is. KPFK bringing you the realness. Peace.
Harlem streets stay flooded in white powder.
KPFK's webcast of the day for Mondays is Economic Update with Professor Richard Wolff. The ongoing economic crisis continues to be the dominant story of this decade, and no one breaks it down like Professor Wolff. To hear Economic Update with Richard Wolff, all you have to do is go to kpfk.org, and right there on the right side of the front page is a link to the webcast of the day. Click on it and enjoy Economic Update. And check out the webcast of the day 7 days a week on kpfk.org.